Great to see all the little ones this morning. Some more babies here than usual even. It's great to see. We're smack dab in the middle of our SHAPE series. So we have this SHAPE acronym, five letters, and we're smack dab in the middle with the A. We started with S, spiritual gifts, and we looked at how our spiritual gifts work. We saw that with spiritual gifts, we're called to seek, to see what they are, and then to use them, to put them in use. And then we were also invited to take a gifts inventory. So online, there's a bunch of gifts inventories. And just a reminder, if you've done that, if you went through all the work of answering those questions and you got a gifts inventory, send it to Catherine or I. We'd love to see it. We'd love to know, get that little window of insight into how God has formed you. So just a reminder, send those gift inventories to us. A few of you have already done that. We really appreciate it. Then last week, we talked about the H, heart, and Catherine encouraged us to open our hearts to God, to allow him to reveal our passions, those things that we find joy doing. God is a God of love, of nurture, and care. And when we find what we care about, what we're passionate about, things just start to click when we serve, when we work, and we start to love out of abundance. It's not such a drain when we find what our heart is passionate about. And then this week, we are on the A. And the A stands for our abilities. Now, abilities are similar to spiritual gifts. They usually actually work together or in tandem with our spiritual gifts. And then sometimes our spiritual gifts actually complement our abilities, so fill in some of the gaps of our natural talents. Rick Warren from A Purpose-Driven Life writes, "Your abilities are the natural talents that you were born with. Some people have a natural ability with words. Other people have athletic abilities, you know, physical coordination. Others are good at math or music or mechanical things. You know, for me, I'm pretty good with a soccer ball at my feet. If someone kicked a ball at me right now, I would control it. It wouldn't go crazy. But don't ask me to make furniture or rebuild my front porch. Some of you are much better at doing that than I am. 9 times out of 10, I will still ask my father to come over for seemingly simple activities around the house. So what abilities have you been graced with? Things that can help your church fulfill its calling to love one another. And as I've been reading each and every week, Ephesians 4, we do this so that the body of Christ might be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. That's the goal, to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's a big goal. That's a large goal, a broad goal, and it keeps us active. It keeps us engaged with one another. So to help introduce our abilities, I'd like us to watch a clip. This is just a humorous mashup of ability and then inability or failure. So there's this thing called Fail Army that's always good for a laugh. So we got this ability and failure mashup. And I just thought it would be fun as we talk about abilities. So go ahead. So we love to watch both of those things, right? We love to watch human ability. We love to watch people doing amazing things. And we also love to watch human failure. It's just fun. And they do different things for us. Ability inspires us. look what we're capable of, and failure comforts us. It reassures us that, hey, we're okay too. Overemphasize other people's ability, put too much emphasis on other people's ability, and our inspiration can actually turn to perspiration as we think, man, I could never do that. If you spent all day looking at what other people can do, you might start to get a little inferiority complex. And then overemphasizing other people's inability can turn to arrogance and disdain for your fellow citizens. You know, what's wrong with humanity? Part of this, when I think about the news, I think of that. It's like the news collects all the worst possible things that are happening around the world, and then they chunk it together in a tiny little segment, and you leave feeling like, what is wrong with us? Overemphasizing in any of those, the really great and the really bad, can lead to unhealthy things. So I think a healthy focus is somewhere between those extremes, where we're paying attention to our abilities, our natural talents. We're not overemphasizing them, but we're not neglecting them. We're honing them, growing them, and we're not becoming enamored with, hey, look what I can do, look what I'm able to do. There are certain things that you are uniquely positioned to do. So you have both the ability and the opportunity, and Kathy, in her story, was talking about the opportunities. Maybe someone else has a bit more ability than you in an area, but they don't have the same opportunities that you have. You're unique in that. And God has fit us together, all of us, this human, beautiful creation, designed us, placed us so that we have something to contribute, so that everyone has a part to play. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." This has been said almost every week as well. God has prepared in advance things for you to do. He's given you the ability, he's given you the opportunity to do unique things for his purposes. So if you experience those moments when you were in just the right place and you had just the right thing to come through for someone, to do something special. In my life, I've seen this most often as I've been in one-on-one conversations, you know, faith conversations. It's one of the big reasons I think that I became a pastor is because as a pastor, you get invited into a lot of those one-on-one conversations, and I really enjoy it. We might be talking about this or that, talking about what's interesting to them, and all of a sudden the conversation turns to something deep, something meaningful, a need that that person has. And so many times, just in the back of my mind, something will come up to say. It's something that maybe I read about just the other day, and it connects, or a conversation I had with someone else where we talked about that thing, and now I feel like a bit of an expert in exactly meeting that person's need at the moment. And this has happened to me over and over again to the point where I feel like, hey, this is an ability that God uses, and every time it blows me away. I didn't prepare for that meeting, but God has prepared me. He's given me the ability to do that. And every time I praise God for the way that he prepares me for these conversations. And I think it's important for us this morning when we talk about abilities, we talk about the natural talents you have, to know that even these things have a spiritual dimension. When we realize that they're a gift of God, that they're just as much a gift of God as our spiritual gifts. So when we learn to surrender our abilities, our talents, to God's purposes, instead of using them just for ourselves, he magnifies their impact. When he gets a hold of them, he magnifies them. There's this really great story about abilities that Jesus tells. He tells his disciples. The Bible calls it the parable of the talents. In different versions, talents, the word talent is used. Some people use money. But I'm expanding it to mean the thing that God's given you, whatever it's given you. For some people, it is money. For other people, it's ability and talent, and it's usually a combination of all that. So Jesus tells this story. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to paraphrase it. There was this man who had a lot of stuff, and he was going to go away for a long time, but he wanted his resources to still be put to good use. So he gives them to his servants. And to one, he gives five talents. To another, he gives two. And then to a third, he gives one. And he gave it to them based on their ability, what he saw that they were capable of. And that's important for us to pay attention to. And then he goes away, and then those servants do different things. The one with five turns around and makes five more. The one with two goes and does some things and makes two more. And then the one with one, the one who was only given one talent, decides to dig a hole and bury it. And I think probably watches that thing and guards it from anyone who might come and take it. He's just focused on that and buries it. So then the master comes back, and he wants to know what's happened with these talents that he's given out. So he brings the five and the two, and they say, look, we've gotten five more and two more. And the master's happy. He's like, well done. You did great. And then we know the one with the one comes to him and says, look, master, I know that you're harsh. I know that you reap where you do not sow. I know that you want a return. So that scared me. It scared me so much that I actually buried my talent. But here, look, come and look. Here it is, exactly as you gave it to me. Nothing's gone. Nothing's been taken. It's yours again. So the master says, that's not good. Why did you do that? You could have at least put that in the bank and got some interest. Why did you give me back nothing for the talent that I gave you? So then he takes that one talent and gives it to the person who had 10, gives it to the person who did really well. And he says, whoever has little, even what they have, will be taken away and given to the one who has much, which is an interesting way of ending a story, but he does. So a few things I want to highlight from this story. The first is the source of talents. The source of abilities is the master, God. God gives us abilities, and he does so because he loves us. He gives us according to his wisdom and his knowledge of who we are. So we don't all get the same. And it's not about which gifts or how many. So the five and the two are there to tell us it's not about which gifts and how many. You can be faithful with five, you can be faithful with two. It's about what we do with whatever we've been given, whatever those abilities are. The second thing is that different people react to this gift, these abilities, and the expectation that's placed on them. And the story brings up some very real issues about how we think about using our abilities, about getting involved. So I think we'll be able to find ourselves, at least in some way, in each of these things. And that's first, how we think about God. So remember that the one who had the one talent said, I thought you were harsh. The master was harsh. I knew you to be harsh. So thinking that God is harsh and demanding, that God is demanding you to act a certain way and demanding you to do certain things, having that view of God causes us to bury our gifts. When you see God as a harsh, demanding judge, you kind of want to hide from him. You want to cower. You want to bury your potential to not get involved. Because maybe when you try and you fail, you feel terrible. There's shame and there's guilt associated in that. And so it's just easier not to try at all. And then you compound that with something that often happens when we step out in our ability and our talent, is that we get resistance. It doesn't always turn out just as we wanted. There's that phrase out there, no good deed goes unpunished. Have you heard that one? No good deed goes unpunished. There's this sense that, you know, if you do step out and do something good, watch out. It's going to backfire in some way. As we step out in our ability, we do meet resistance. Absolutely we do. There's jealousy in some. As we step out in an ability, someone doesn't like that. They're jealous and they lash out. Sometimes it's just ungratefulness. You do something for someone, you step out in an ability, you expect a return and they don't give it. And that can really hurt us. And then occasionally there's outright attacks from our enemy. There's an enemy out there that doesn't want us to step out in our ability, doesn't want us to reach our potential. So the easiest example I can think that everyone might know would be, maybe not everyone, but if you're on like YouTube or whatever, and you look at videos, so someone puts a piece of art together or a piece of music, think of like Taylor Swift or whatever, she's one that's always getting nailed. So think about like that sense of, I have this piece of art that I've put out there, and then you read the comments, and you read the harsh criticism that comes. It's vicious. People are vicious. Think of Kanye West going up there and saying, you don't actually deserve this award, Taylor. It's pretty intense when you step out in an ability and then you meet that resistance. So that's something. If we think that God in the world is harsh, that might drive us to bury our gift. And then second, how we think about ourselves, how we think about that gift and ability we've been given. If we think that it's not good or that it's not right for us, God, why did you give me this talent? I don't know what to do with this talent. I'd rather have that talent. So that kind of thing can actually cause us to bury our gift, to not get involved. We don't think we can have an impact. We don't think that our ability makes a difference. So maybe that's part of that person who had the one talent that thought, what can I do with one? If I had two, I'd know what to do, but with one, I can't do enough. Master's not going to be happy even with my efforts, so instead, you bury it. And then third, how we think about the fairness of the world. Thinking that others have more and better abilities causes us to bury our gifts, causes us to not get involved. Because, you know, why would I give my small thing, why would I give my ability when there's Bill Gates out there who has a foundation that could just do everything? So it just kind of dwarfs my gift in relation. So the sense that it's just not fair, there's so much injustice in the world that what does my ability matter in an unfair world? So we have to examine how we're thinking. When we're talking about abilities, how we're thinking about God, how we're thinking about ourselves, our own abilities, and then how we're thinking about the fairness of the world. Where are our eyes? Are our eyes on our neighbor's abilities? So these things help us to maybe decide why we have sidelined ourselves, why we've buried our talents and abilities. Perhaps we need some fresh perspective. Bring someone into that conversation. Be honest with God about your feelings around your abilities. If you have kind of taken yourself out and not allowed your talents to shine, or maybe you've allowed a few of your gifts and talents to shine, but there's this one that you've just never allowed to be brought to light. Bring someone into that conversation. Expand your perspective on that. And then the third thing from Jesus' parable to notice is that your abilities have been given for a purpose. That every ability, no matter how unique, can be used for God's glory. Every ability can be used for God's glory. The end of the parable brings a hard lesson for us, that whoever doesn't have, whatever they do have, will be actually taken away and given to the one who has. So a modern version of this might be use it or lose it. You heard of that? Use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. And this sounds pretty harsh. Actually, my pastoral heart doesn't want that to be the lesson. I want to soften that for you. He didn't really mean that. He meant this over here. But that's how abilities work. Use it or lose it. Think about if you were going to the gym and you worked out and you stopped. The stats say after 2 weeks, you lose 8% of your strength. And maybe you would know even more clearly about muscle atrophy. When you stop using it, almost immediately, your body starts to shut down. Money. If you did the same thing, buried your money, what's going to happen? Year after year, inflation is going to eat your money. If you did nothing with it, consumer price index, it keeps going up, so that burger is going to cost you more next year, and so your money is actually shrinking year after year if you don't do anything with it. And then your mind, if you stop reading and engaging, you will lose intelligence. You lose the ability to use your mind. And the same is true with our abilities. This is just the way it works. Use it or lose it. And if you've buried your abilities, if you've ducked your responsibility with what you've been given, I think this story that Jesus tells is meant to be a wake-up call. It's time to dig up your gift, to get in there, get dirty, dig it up, explore it, dust that gift off, and show God what you have. Just put it before God. Ask him, how can I put my talents and abilities to use in your kingdom work? What might be one way to get involved? How could I use this talent? How could I start? And when God looks into our heart, I would love us to be those people who are able, who are the ones who are using our abilities. So with that in mind, I want us to think about another Bible story, a Bible character this morning, a great example of someone who used their ability well, and that's King David. So King David is one of the most faithful characters in Scripture. The Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. And this king did not begin as an heir to the throne. So a lot of kings, it's because their dad was king. But that's not true of David. He didn't have a silver spoon in his mouth. He started out as a shepherd, one of the lowest class jobs at the time, hanging out with the smelly sheep. He started low. But he was so faithful in the small things, in being a shepherd, in honing the abilities that he did have, that God ended up giving him responsibility for the biggest things. David is, in a sense, the five-talent guy that Jesus is talking about. That's the example is David. So the story of David is one of those great examples of how God helps us grow and mature our abilities for his purposes. It tells us that he had these abilities, the scriptures tell us that he had these abilities as a young child. He could play the harp. He had musical ability. He could play the lyre. He could also sling a bow. That's the famous one we're going to focus on. He could sling a bow. And he had the ability to shepherd a flock. Shepherd a flock of sheep, eventually shepherd the entire nation of Israel. I think his greatest ability, though, was the ability to trust God in any situation, no matter what the odds, no matter how risky. His ability was to trust God. And that also would be called the spiritual gift of faith. So they kind of go in tandem there. So as a shepherd, David was dependable. He could be trusted to care for his flock above even his own life, no matter what came up. So David says this. Goliath is we're going to talk about this David and Goliath story. Goliath is taunting the enemy, taunting Israel. He's saying, if you send me one person, let's have a fight. Rather than both nations fighting it out, let's just do one man, mano a mano. You send your best against me, and whoever wins, wins the fight. And he does this 40 days. He's taunting Israel. Who do you got? Who's your best man? Let him fight me. And for 40 days, Israel doesn't send anyone because that would be stupid. It would be stupid to fight this man. He's so huge and aggressive and amazing at fighting. No man saw in themselves the ability to stand against. So nobody goes up. But then David says this to King Saul. He says, your servant was tending his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. The average shepherd would not chase down lions and bears. They'd be like, okay, we lost one. That's good. David was such a dependable shepherd that he would chase no matter what the risk. And he freed that one lamb because that was important to him. That's the kind of heart he had. That's the kind of risks that he took. And so he says this in order to convince Saul that, hey, I can do this too. He practiced his sling as a young man over and over until it became dependable, a dependable skill, that it had lightning accuracy, deadly accuracy, and he could trust it. He could trust the dependability of his skills. And then he says this, because Saul's like, there's no way I'm sending you, because this could mean the war. You're young, and you haven't trained as a warrior. I'm not sending you up against there. And then David says this. He says, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine, will rescue me from Goliath. So David's dependability and really his availability were the result of his complete trust in the ability of the Lord to protect him. And so David made himself available to serve. When no one else in the army would, David says, okay, this is not right. Whatever's happening here is not right. And I'm wondering, God, am I the one? I'm making myself available. He sees this. He sees this person coming against God, and he says, am I the one to stand in the gap? I make myself available. In the book of Acts, Luke writes about David. God testified concerning him. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And then it says, he will do everything I want him to do. That was the praise layered onto David, that he will do everything God asks him to do. That's dependability. That's availability. Here, a shepherd, confident in his God-given ability, confident in God's protection, walks out onto a battlefield with no armor. He wasn't even armored. And he uses his trusty ability, his talent, and he slays Goliath. He wins the battle for his king, for King Saul, and he wins the battle for his heavenly king, God. There's so many other moments in David's life where he is this. He is dependable and he is available. If you want to read some more 1 and 2 Samuel, I encourage you to just kind of chunk through a little bit of that this week as a reinforcement of what we're talking about this morning. Just David's life is a study in submitting his talents to God. And our inner work is to ask if we are dependable. Are we available? Can God count on us to be available when opportunities to use our talents arise? If we are, then God can use us at any moment, in any place, at any time, whenever his purpose dictates. So if we are those kind of people that are dependable and available, we're looking for that stuff. We're like, God, can I be used? God, can I be used? One of the things in our men's, we do a men's prayer on Tuesday mornings every other week. One of the things I always hear one of the men say is, when I wake up in the morning, I just ask God, how can I be used today? He just opens his life to God, and then he's looking for it. That's being available. That's being dependable. Comedian Aziz Ansari, if you know him, put your hand up. Aziz Ansari, Parks and Rec, and he's a comedian. He jokes about today's social scene. So he's in the dating scene, and he jokes about the social scene, saying that nowadays, you know, people text. Most dating is done on here, in case you didn't know. Most of your social life actually is done on here. And so he says, nowadays, people text that they'll meet up somewhere. Hey, let's meet over here. And then they just don't show up. And there's no message. And that's because they're waiting for something better to come along. They just wait till the last minute. Maybe something else will come along. And then he says, sometimes nothing better does come along, and they still don't show up. He says, it used to be that if you arranged to meet someone and you didn't show up, then the other person would call the police. Because the only possible reason for you not showing up is that you were in a car accident and you were probably dead. So I better get the cops on this situation. And it just shows you how the sliding scale of dependability has happened today. And I think when it's become socially acceptable to just not show up to stuff, not even respond to someone, when dependability is at an all-time low, I wonder, how are we doing with God's invitations to get involved? Perhaps we could use a reminder this morning that when the God of the universe invites us to act, that we be found dependable, available. Pope Benedict once said that David, talking about King David, abandons himself completely to the Lord's will with the certainty that however harsh the trial, however difficult the problems, however acute the suffering may be, we shall never fall from God's hands. Those hands that created us, that sustain us, that accompany us on our way through life, because they're guided by an infinite and faithful love. So trusting in God's character and his infinite and faithful love can help us step out with our abilities, can help us risk, even though we might face some resistance. So in this way, David was a man after God's own heart, one who resembles Jesus Christ. Jesus is that one who perfectly and completely trusted in his Father's plan. And some people call David like an archetype of Jesus, one who went before and resembled Jesus. Jesus submitted his entire life to teach, live, and through death, establish this kingdom, this way of the Father. Jesus and David were able. They were dependable. They were available. And may we desire to be able as well, trusting in God's ability to protect us as we step out with our abilities, as we dig up our talents, and as we start to serve in new ways or extended ways. God's interested in more than our unique and special abilities. He's looking for our availability. So it's not so much what your gift is and how big or small, how unique or special it is. It's about, are you available? The two and the five and the one all had that same expectation to use it. And God gives us grace when we mess up, when we miss our opportunities. Often it's we who aren't ready to forgive ourselves because we'd like to never fall. We'd like to never be on that fail side of the video. We always want to be on the aren't we awesome side. And that was the fault of the servant who buried his talent. I think deep down that was the problem. He was so afraid to fail. He was so afraid to lose something that he never stepped out in faith. He never gave it a shot. So I'm just going to lead us through a confession prayer. You know, if you want to bow your eyes or bow your heads and close your eyes, I'm just going to lead us through a prayer as we bring our abilities and talents to God. Father, we thank you for being present in this place, for being present with us. We know that as we talk about our shape, as we talk about how you've created us, so quickly it can lead us into different directions, either crushing expectations and fears that we're not doing enough, or into just an inability to even step out in faith because we're afraid or we've been hurt in the past. So God, forgive us for the ways that we bury our ability, we bury our talent and our potential. And we forgive ourselves for missing it and messing it up sometimes, for missing those opportunities. We forgive ourselves for that. We forgive each other for the ways, you know, intentional or unintentional, we hinder each other's abilities through gossip, when we talk about each other, when we slander each other, when we divide, through unforgiveness. Father, help us to dig up our abilities, to show them to you, dirty and imperfect, and teach us to be dependable, to be available. Thank you that you never give up on us. You love us. You want us to join in. You want us to be filled with the joy of service, not lacking anything, to become mature. You desire us to be filled, restored, and renewed. We praise you, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen.